Inshallah, we'll have a very brief lesson of hadith today. Brothers requested to stay behind for a couple of minutes, inshallah, and benefit from the statements and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we were discussing the chapter wherein Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi was bringing those ahadith which are which relate to encouraging our family members to be steadfast upon deen, telling them, especially our children, those who are baligh, those who are mature, those who have reached any level of understanding. The ulama say, as soon as they know how to eat, as soon as they know how to drink, as soon as you're teaching them how to use the bathroom, as soon as you're teaching them how to eat, how to drink, and how to just be, have those general basic etiquettes and understanding, at the same time our fikr and concern should be, how can my child, my son, my daughter be a good Muslim? How can my son, my daughter know what does Allah Ta'ala want from him? What does Allah Ta'ala want from her? This should be our fikr straight away. The same way I worry that if he goes to the bathroom, I don't want him leaving any mess on the toilet seat. When he eats, I don't want him spilling any food on the floor. When he drinks, I don't want him getting water all over himself. So we teach our children these basic skills. Similarly, straight away our concern should go to, if he's old enough to be able to eat himself, drink himself, go to the bathroom himself, I should be teaching him salah from now. Because these are things that Allah has made wajib, necessary. And so a few ahadith have been mentioned. There's only two ahadith left of this chapter. I'm going to finish them off, inshallah. وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء سبع سنين واضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء عشر وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. سيدنا عمرو بن شعيب رضي الله عنه narrates from his father, who narrates from his grandfather, who narrates that he heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, command your children to perform salah when they are 7 years old. وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ, in the condition that they are 7 years of age. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرٍ, and beat them upon it, meaning to make them perform their salah. If you have to, beat them. So these are the words used in the hadith, inshallah, I'll explain this. وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرٍ, when they reach the age of 10. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, and separate between them in their beddings. So separate their beddings between them. And then another hadith has very similar meaning, so I'm going to read that one as well. وعن أبي ثريا سبرة بن معبد الجهني رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علم الصبي الصلاة لسبع سنين. سيدنا أبو ثريا سبرة بن معبد الجهني رضي الله عنه narrates that he heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, teach the child salah when he is 7 years of age. وَضْرِبُوهُ عَلَيْهَا إِبْنُ عَشْرِ سِنِينَ, and beat him for it when he is 10 years old, meaning to make him perform his salah when he is 10 years old. And in another narration it mentions مُرُ الصَّبِيَّ بِالصَّلَاةِ إِذَا بَلَغَ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ, that command your child to perform salah when he is only 7 years of age. Now these two ahadith are similar. Both of these ahadith are similar in the sense that these are two ahadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us that when your child reaches 7 years of age, you should be commanding them to perform salah. Muru is from the word amar, hukam. To give your child the hukam, the command to perform salah, this should happen when they are 7 years old. At the age of 7, a boy has not even reached the age of bulugh, puberty. A girl has not even reached the age of puberty. Normally girls reach the age of puberty prior to boys, before boys. However, at the age of 7, neither of them have reached the age of puberty. But the point here is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing us that even before they reach the age of puberty, when their mind is still on toys, when their mind is still on playing with their friends, you should be inculcating the importance of salah at that age into them. And it's very, very important. Because if we don't do that at this age, and then we wait for the child to reach puberty, بلوغ, بالغ ہو جانے کے بعد, and we wait for that age when he is 14 years old, 15 years old, then many times it's too late now. The child is not in that state of mind. All these years you've not said anything about namaz, and now you know your child is bali, you're saying, I go to the masjid, you need to come with me to the masjid. Child has no understanding of salah. Many times child does not even know the du'as of salah, does not even know the method of salah properly. So all of these things need to be taught at a very, very young age. And we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba, even when the children were very young, they'd be taught salah, they'd be taught to experience fasting. Because what happens is, if you say, my child is not baligh yet, he doesn't have to fast, you're right. But when Ramadan comes, how old is your child going to be? Maybe he's going to be 14 years old, he's going to be in year 9, he's going to be year 10, he's going to be in the middle of school, and he's going to find it very difficult to start his fasting now. That's why you need to make them experience fasting at a younger age, so that when it comes to the real time, they are ready. Physically, they are ready to do it, they are immune to the difficulties and the hardships of fasting. So the Sahaba would make the children fast. Same in the hadith, one of the Sahabiyat radiallahu anha, she mentions that we used to, on the days that we were fasting, we would not feed our children many times, and we try and delay it till iftar time, just so they understand the pangs of hunger. With us, what happens is, as soon as my child is a little bit hungry, I feed them, which is good. We should, of course. We don't want to make your children to become malnourished and your children to be hungry and them not to put on weight. But at the same time, as when they are ready, we need to give them that training. Experience half a day of fasting in Ramadan. You know, he's not even baligh yet. She's not even baligh yet. She's 7 years old, 8 years old. Why don't you fast for half a day? Fast for 6 hours, and then I'm going to get you a sweet. I'm going to get you a treat. So this is how we need to motivate and encourage. So that as soon as Ramadan comes, the child is ready, and the child is baligh, the child is ready for fasting. Similarly, namaz. Subhanallah, some of the pious people, one of the great ulama of India, Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, when he became very old in his elderly age, someone wrote a biography about him. Someone wrote a book, kisi ne unki aap biti jo hai kisi ne likha unke bare mein. So he read it. And the person who wrote the biography, he was Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, another great scholar. But when he read the biography, he was very disappointed. He said, Ali Miyane iske andar itne, matlab jo bekar cheeze hain, is kitab ko bekar cheezon se bhar di. Meaning, this biography he's written about me, he's filled it with, oh, Sheikh al-Hadith is a very special person, and he's a big lecturer of hadith, and he's done this, and he's done this. He's just filled it with my tarif and my praise. He hasn't mentioned anything about my childhood. Okay, what tarbiyat did my father do to me? How did my father bring me up to make me into who I am? He's not mentioned any of this. These are the important points. There's no point, I am now 60, 70 years old. There's no point saying, Sheikh al-Hadith is such a big person. He's taught thousands of students, and he's been teaching Sahih Bukhari for 40 years. What's the point? How are people going to take faida from this? People are not going to take any benefit from this. He should have mentioned, how did I become who I was? And he would say, I became who I was because of the tarbiyat and the upbringing of my father. And then when he wrote his own abbiti, Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned so many pages of how his dad used to do his tarbiyat. And he used to mention all of these incidents. And he said, when I was a child, I used to find my dad very harsh, very strict. Right? He said, چونکہ میرے والد صاحب مجھے بہت رگڑتے تھے. He used to be very, very strict on me, very harsh on me, very stern on me. He said, however, because of what my father did, I am who I am today. Some of the lessons, subhanAllah, his father taught him. He mentions the stories. We might find it very cruel. We might find it very difficult, especially growing up in England. And obviously, you know, the kind of relationship we have with our children is very different. So things like, for example, when he was a child, his father once said to him, "Okay, Zakariya, bring me a pillow. Bring me a pillow. Mere liye ek takiya leo." So he said, I brought a pillow which my mother had made for me. And I, in my happiness, khushi ke andar, I said, Abu Walid Sahab, look, I've brought you my pillow. Maine apne takiya jo hai, apne pillow jo hai, maine aapke liye le aaya. He said, my father took the pillow and then he gave me a very hard smack on my face. And he said, nothing is yours. He said, I remember crying, I remember my face hurting. And he said in one sentence, koi bhi cheez tera nahi hai, nothing is yours. And he said, from that time, the lesson stuck in me. That in the dunya, anything of dunya, I have never regarded to be mine. Allah Ta'ala has given to me, Allah Ta'ala has taken from me, it's never affected me. Because I've never felt, okay, this is my house, my car, my possession. I've never felt it to be mine. He said, similarly, when my father would ever give me any hadiah, he'd only give me any hadiah jab udhar koi aur matlab ghareeb miskeen hota, to us waqt mere walid sahab mujhe kuch hadiah dete the, paise. Aur kehte the ke, Zakariya, dekho ye jo ghareeb aadmi udhar logon se bheek mang raha hai, usko ja ke de do, usko zarurat hai. So abhi mere walid sahab mujhe hadiah de rahe hain, paise de rahe hain kharch karne ke liye, aur saath hi saath kya bata rahe hain ke udhar ek ghareeb insan hai, there's a poor person sitting over there, he needs the money. So I would go and give it to that person. He goes, every time mujhe hadiah dete isi tarah, he would choose that time when there's a poor person sitting there or someone else in need. It's India, there's always plenty of people who are in need, so he'd give it. He goes, so my adat became that I can never keep money on me. Koi agar mujhe koi paisa de de, main foran us waqt koi hila talash karta hu ke kiske upar main kharch kar lu. If anyone gives me any money, straight away I'm thinking, okay, who can I spend this money on? I don't ever keep money on me. I never have any money on me. And he goes, this is why Allah Ta'ala gave me so much barakat in my money. I always have money coming in, but it doesn't stay, it always goes out. And this is the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was finishing his salah, as soon as he finished namaz, he jumped up and he was jumping over the shoulders of the people to go to his room that was at the back. The sahaba were very surprised. And then after he exited from the room, the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, today we saw you doing something that we've never seen you doing before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I was in namaz, I remembered, mere paas kuch maal ghanimat thi. Aur maine, mujhe achanak ye fikr ho gayi, all of a sudden I thought, what if death comes to me and I have this wealth in my possession? May Allah Ta'ala ko kis tarah jawab deta? How could I answer to Allah Ta'ala about this wealth? So straight after namaz, I went and I spent it in charity. So I don't have anything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, he had nothing, no money. He had just had a few household utensils. And that's why when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, he also left because he made Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu Khalifa. So he wrote in his will that I only have one pot, I have one this, I have one that, just a few household items, and I leave them all to Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu, when he got the paper, he was crying. He said, oh Abu Bakr, you've left a very difficult example for me to follow. So this is the reality, this is how they were. So it's very important that we train our children. But you know what afikar is? Bachon pe zyada sakhti nahi karni chahiye, chunki bachche bachche hote hain. And when they get older, they will learn. When they get older, we will teach them. From childhood, we need to teach them du'as. Subah utke kya parni hai, sone ke waqt kya parni hai, toilet mein jane ke waqt kya du'a parni hai, toilet se bahir hone ke waqt kya. All of these du'as we need to teach them. Khana khaye aur kuch matlab drinking water, eating food, drinking with the right hand, eating with the right hand. These basic things we need to teach them. The important du'as, Ayatul Kursi, Surah Falaq, Surah Nas, all of these things should be taught at a very, very young age. Our problem is, hum wal bachon ko kuch nahi sikhate. And then what we do is, madrasa ke jab mauka aata hai to ustad ke paas ja ke kehte, ustad ko kuch bhi yaad nahi hai, aap usko sikha dijiye. Aur phir agar bachche ko kuch yaad nahi hoti to hum kisko pakadte hain aur kiske bare mein kehte ke ustad ne usko kuch nahi padhaya, ustad ne kuch nahi sikhaya. Halanki ustad ki zimmedari nahi thi. Zimmedari thi hamari. Deen should be the most important thing to us. But children, if they are weak in school, aajkal is very normal. People go to tuition. Tuition mein bachon ko dete hain. Mere bachcha jo hai, maths mein piche hai, English mein piche hai, science mein piche hai. To usko main kuch extra paise deke usko tuition class mein bhejunga. Madrasa ke bare mein kisi ki is tarah fikr nahi hoti. It's very important. That's why, you know, Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari was a great Sufi scholar. And he's written a book called the Hikam al-Ata'iyya, his words of wisdom. Ibn Ata'illah Iskandari was an Egyptian saint, and he wrote a small booklet called al-Hikam al-Ata'iyya, wisdoms of Ata. And people have written shuruhat, explanation, commentaries on it, because they were filled with wisdom, each small statement. One statement he mentions there, he says, مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ بِدَايَةٌ مُشْرِقَى لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نِهَايَةٌ مُحْرِقَى. Sorry, مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ بِدَايَةٌ مُحْرِقَى لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نِهَايَةٌ مُشْرِقَى. Whoever does not have a beginning which is burning, meaning a burning beginning. Meaning in the beginning he gives himself so much difficulty and hardship, or he goes through a very hard time at the beginning, he will never have an ending which wherein he is shining bright. Meaning to shine bright and to be beneficial to the people and to become someone special in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the beginning is always filled with hardship and difficulty. Like they say, the candle can only give flame once it can only give light once it burns itself out. So this is the reality. We need to ourselves understand this, and for our children understand this, that the child needs to go through some development, some difficulties, some tarbiyah, some training. If this doesn't happen, then what is the child ever going to fall back upon? He's never been through any difficulties, doesn't have any life experiences, any hardships, anything. So maybe Allah Ta'ala has protected my family, my children from natural calamities. Some people go through natural calamities. Something can happen, family problem, this problem, that problem, someone has died, someone has fallen ill. So because of a natural problem, a person comes out stronger. Sometimes my situation may be such that there are no natural calamities. I've brought my children up in a very protected household and everything is fine. Now that child does not have that life experience, that wisdom, that strength that comes through difficulties to actually grow up and shine. So then we put them in a situation, whether it's in a madrasa or whether they're sending them far away somewhere where they can learn those skills. We have to do that. If we say he's going to stay at home, and that's why we see all of the great ulama, they used to be sent away. They didn't used to be kept at home. Okay, you stay at home, go to this local madrasa and you're going to become a big alim and you're going to do so much khidmat. No. The parents, the wise parents knew that my child is never going to be a big alim when he's eating my maza nice food and my nice cooking. I need to send him far away. So he goes through hardship, difficulties, understands, and through this Allah Ta'ala will give him the sifat, the qualities to actually shine, to actually become someone special. And this was normal. That's why in India, you know, when the Sufi sheikhs, the big scholars of tasawwuf, the mashayikh, they used to have their khanqas. So in the khanqas there were hundreds of people. There were hundreds of people. And some of these people used to sit there for years and years. The Shaykh would say, "Bhaiya, aap baith ke ye zikr karo, ye tilawat karo, ye matlab wird karo, ye wo unko batate the." But when the ulama would come, some ulama would come for 40 days, sirf 40 din ke liye, chille ke liye aajate. They would come for 40 days, they would do their zikr. Shaykh would say, "I've given you khilafat. You're ready basically, and you can go." So this other person would say, "I've been here for so many years. You haven't given me khilafat. You say I'm still not ready. This alim just came for 40 days and you're saying he's ready and he can go." Shaykh would say, because the amount of mujahada and hardship he's already gone through in his zamanay ta'lim, in his when he was studying and when he was learning, the amount of difficulties he's already gone through, the amount of sacrifices. You grew up eating biryani and pulao and mashallah, anything you wanted, and parents were giving you pocket money and you were buying sweets from here and you didn't even know what difficulty was. This child, this person has been going through hardship upon hardship since he was a child. He's already ready. He's ready. I just had to shape him up a little bit, finish him off, and just he's ready to go. He's ready to go and do khidmat of the people. I don't need to worry about him. So this is very important, you know, putting our children through some form of tarbiyah. So in these ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, at the age of 7 years old, the child is ready. They should be reading namaz, which means before seven, they should know how to do wudu. Before seven, they should know the du'as of namaz. They should know the method of namaz. So at seven, they are reading namaz. It doesn't mean at 7 years old, teach them how to read namaz. Before seven, teach them. And at seven, they should be reading. When you're reading, your child, your children, male, female, should all be reading. Okay, maybe the boys may not be old enough to come to the masjid. Maybe if they come to the masjid, they may be too energetic. But they should be reading at home with their mums. When the mother is reading, the daughter should be reading, the son should be reading. At seven, everybody should be reading. And by 10, if they don't read, use physical force if necessary. Again, we live in a country where there are laws. Of course, we're not allowed to go and physically hit our children. It's going against the laws of the country. But the point is the importance that at 10 years old, no child should be missing namaz. No child should be missing namaz at 10 years old. This should be the tarbiyah and the upbringing that our children have. The Shaykhul Hadith Murna Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was talking about his uncle, Murna Ilyas Sahib. So everybody knows Murna Ilyas Sahib, such a great saint of Allah Ta'ala. He says, when we were children, our father used to wake us up at tahajjud time every day. He goes, I've always, jab se me bachpane se mujhe yaad hai ke tahajjud ke waqt hamare wale sahab hame jagate the. ہم بچے تھے ہمیں نماز پڑھنے کا طریقہ بھی اس وقت نہیں آتا تھا لیکن اگر سکول سے کوئی مطلب ہوم ورک وغیرہ ہوتا تھا یا اور کوئی کام ہوتا تھا تو اس وقت والد صاحب کہتے کہ یہ کام کر لو مطلب ہمارے اندر یہ عادت جو ہے بچپنے سے ہمارے اندر ہے کہ تہجد کے وقت جاگنا ہے So from childhood, if you bring this habit into your children that you need to wake up for tahajjud, you need to read namaz, then it becomes a habit. Most people, isliye when we teach duas upstairs, we always say, okay, look, duas are all about adat. Dua is all about adat. MashaAllah, you have a lot of people wake up and read fajr namaz. But then you'll have the same people who read fajr namaz who say, you know, when I woke up in the morning, I didn't read the dua. I didn't rub my eyes. When I went to the bathroom, I didn't read the dua for wudu. I didn't read the dua after wudu. I read fajr. Well, you see, I didn't read these duas, not because I didn't want to. Janbujh ke nahi, bas meri aadat nahi hai. Main khane ke waqt dua padhta hun, toilet mein jane ke waqt dua padhta hun, lekin jab kapra pehnta hun, dua nahi padhta. Kyunki mujhe aadat nahi hai. Ya main kapre pehnne ke waqt dua padhta hun, lekin naya kapra pehnne ke waqt jo ek khas dua hai, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne sikhaya, main wo nahi padhta, kyunki mujhe uski aadat hi nahi hai. So duas are all about habits. So when you build habits in children from a young age, those habits will stay, whether it's du'as, whether it's namaz, whether it's anything else. Then you don't have to worry when they get to an older age. Then they'll find it very uncomfortable to change those habits. Like they say, adat, in Farsi mein kehte, adat gardad jibillat, jabal gardad jibillat na gardad. That you can move a mountain, but someone who's got habits, it's very hard to change their habits. It's easier to move a mountain. So we need to train our children to have good habits from a young age, so that when they grow up, it's easier for them to just continue. Gari humne waise chalu kar di, bas abhi gari chalta rahe. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the understanding to practice upon these ahadith. Achha, one last point there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, separate their beddings. When they are 10 years old, unki bistar, matlab separate their bistar, separate their bedding. Meaning if you have boys and girls, at the age of 10 years old, they should be sleeping in different beds. So this is to protect them from falling into any form of fitna. Because fitna can come from anywhere. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any man and any woman is alone, the third person is shaitan. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, even if a man is with his daughter, the third person is shaitan. Shaitan can influence anyway. So obviously when you're older, you know, okay, this is nafs and this is shaitan, so you ignore it. Or you, Allah gives you tawfiq to ignore it. When you're a child, many times you don't know, okay, this is a shaitani influence, or this is my nafs telling me to do this. You just think, oh, what's the harm in me trying this? What's the harm in me trying that? And that's the danger. And they can fall into a major sin very innocently. Because shaitan will come along and shaitan will say something and they'll say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So that's why Sharia tells us that, look, always safeguarding. Safeguarding, not even, that's why in fiqh they have this usul, saddal lil bab. To stop any danger from happening, they say, don't do this, don't even go there. For a brother and a sister to be here, it's not haram. The problem is, to avoid any fitna from happening, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, they're 10 years old now, the understanding, the adult understanding is slowly coming, they're slowly getting to that adult understanding, separate their beddings from now, to avoid any kind of fitna, avoid any kind of danger. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to practice one of these ahadith. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdihi, shalla ilaha illa anta. Thank you.